This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 a.m., you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Philip. We are turning our attention to the ripple effects of SVB's collapse across banking sectors around the world. The recent meltdown in the banking sector has evoked the specter of the 2008 financial crisis and triggered concerns about whether we're seeing another Lehman Brothers moment. Last week, the 167-year-old Credit Suisse became the biggest name ensnared in the market turmoil. Over the weekend, we saw Swiss authorities successfully engineer a deal that will combine the country's two largest banks, as UBS has agreed to buy Credit Suisse for $3.3 billion.
Following this string of events, Wall Street analysts now expect to see a direct hit on the US economy and raised probability of a recession this year. Meanwhile, in Malaysia, Deputy Finance Minister Stephen Sim and Bank Negara Malaysia have given assurances that the country's lenders have limited or no direct exposure to the crisis in the US, as all banks are required to comply with stringent capital and liquidity rules on an ongoing basis. So while the shockwaves keeping markets and authorities on edge, how concerned should we be about spillover effects on Malaysian shores?
For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Firdaus Rosli, Chief Economist at Bank Islam Malaysia. Firdaus, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. So it's been a fortnight of twists and turns for the banking sector following the collapse of SVB, as well as two smaller banks in the US, and subsequently the Credit Suisse saga. The Malaysian government authorities have said that the impact of this crisis on Malaysian banks is limited. Help us understand why that's so.
Hi, good morning, Charles and Philip. Thank you for having me again. Yes, I think for two reasons. One is that Bank Negara has assured the public that the Malaysian banking system has no direct or an indirect exposure to these banks. All banks in Malaysia, when I said these banks means the SVB and the two other banks, Silvergate and Signature, but more so with Credit Suisse. But all banks in Malaysia, all in all, are well capitalized and subject to stringent stress tests, capital and liquidity rules by Bank Negara. That's the first thing. Mm. Second thing is that bank failures are pretty common in the US, unlike in many parts of the world. It's a bit of a legacy issue in the US because they have about, 5,000 banks and about 4,700 of them are only FDIC insured institutions as of end of 2022. So the numbers are decreasing, but if you look into SVB, it is one of those banks that are very localized, hence its regional status. They don't have foreign branches, and they only cater for tech startups, unlike other bigger household names like JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and the likes, with a more diversified asset base. It is the same with Signature and Silvergate, but they cater for the crypto market.
Yeah, so I guess SVB, Signature really don't have an impact on Malaysian banks, but I guess Credit Suisse would have raise some eyebrows, wouldn't it be? I mean, there's a lot of counterparty risk potentially involved there as well when you start touching Credit Suisse. So while it doesn't have a structural concern, you know, with respect to Silicon Valley, but when you start seeing names like Credit Suisse pop up, that is a cause of concern, no?
In a way, yeah, because Credit Suisse is pretty much a household name. If you remember a couple of years ago, even 1MDB was embroiled with some kind of a scandal with Credit Suisse as well. So it's of course, the exposure to Malaysian banks or of Malaysian banks to Credit Suisse is more than Signature, Silvergate, and SVB. I guess it is pretty telling that, you know, because Credit Suisse is embroiled with series of scandals in the past. So I believe that Malaysian banks have pretty much reduced their exposure to Credit Suisse, if they have not already, and perhaps even less so in the future.
Yeah. I wonder, Firdaus, you know, can you just help us just understand a bit of history? Because I think there has been so much debates about this being parallel to Lehman Brothers. And I'm sure we are in a very different circumstance because of the environment and such. But at the time, US regulators have put in place quite a lot of regulatory, requirements then. And I think we are also, that's why seeing the results where it's kind of limited, right, the effects. Then Malaysian authorities, you know, then also put those kind of regulatory scrutinies there.
Yeah. See, the situation here is rather different because, as I said, we are well capitalized. With a total capital ratio is about 18.9% as of January 2023 versus 14.7% in the US. This gives us an excess liquidity buffers of around 141.5 billion to withstand any financial shock. Our LCR is also high as 147% as of January 2023. In fact, even higher than South Korea at 109% as of June 2022. I think the exposure is because, again, because of a number of reasons as well. One is concentration and market risk, where these banks are clearly tech-related. And, you know, it doesn't help with the fact that there are big retrenchments, market cap of the technology sector in the U.S. are dwindling with high costs. With the crypto scandal following the FTX and the like. So, you know, they do not offer, and besides, like I said, they do not offer offshore branching. So contagion-wise, if any, it will probably be with the Chinese startups and not so much with Malaysia. Mm. Secondly is the interest rate risk, where banks in the US are well exposed to the Fed interest rate play of late. Even with the tech, after the tech bank crisis, the Fed is likely to raise its rates again with a 62% probability this Friday. But I think investors will still sniff for signs of weakness in the banking sector worldwide and not just Malaysia. And we are seeing this from the impact on banking share prices around the world, and Malaysia is no exclusion.
Mm. Okay, so we will see probably some volatility when it comes to banking shares. But overall, there isn't any systemic risk to Malaysian banks here based on the reasons that you said earlier. However, if we zoom out to the broader U.S. economy, I think we see Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, they're expecting small to mid-sized banks to slow on lending in an already weak environment. And they've modestly reduced GDP for the U.S. You know, do you think this is the factor that's going to weigh down on Malaysia's economy?
I think the downside risks to Malaysian economy are not just about the U.S. bank failures. Mm. The Malaysian economy is about 89% correlated with the U.S. economy. So any marked slowdown in growth due to pretty much anything will surely affect us. Mm. So the slowdown in lending is already happening as the global economy exits the low interest rate environment. Loan growth will eventually take a hit amid higher borrowing costs. Like in the U.S., for example, the total loan growth has been declining since November 2022 at 12.15% to 11.35% in February 2023. On a quarterly basis, domestic credit growth has also gone down from 16.3% to 0.8% in the third quarter of last year.
Mm.
Same thing in Malaysia. We are noticing that loans application has been declining since August 2022. And was down by 16.1% on a year-on-year basis in December 2022. In fact, housing loan application was down by 28% year-on-year in December as well. So it's not just a matter of banks tightening credit rules in this case, but it's more about the pressure coming from the rising borrowing costs and, of course, inflation.
I mean, I think one of the key things is that when we see a softening or even a recession, we also see commodity prices like Brent crude now at $73, right? That is a bit of a challenge for Petronas and the coffers of the government, but also helps us reduce the subsidy bill. Help us understand then, with a lower economic projection, with a lower fuel price, what does this mean for Malaysia government's fiscal expenses then?
Yeah, so right now, like you said, the Brent is trending about $72 per barrel, whereas in the recently revised budget, the Prime Minister said that the oil price assumption is at $80 per barrel. So there is a gap there, which means that the need to rationalize subsidies, whether to target them or to, you know, float the retail oil prices would probably be more urgent rather than less. So that is one. Secondly, is that while we know that something must be done as far as subsidies concerned, but we cannot take our eyes off from the fact that we are heading to towards the state elections by June this year. So if there is anything, it would probably be done later and not earlier because of the ramification from the political perspective. So we will continue to watch this space, and it would be quite interesting to see where things will unfold.
So we know the banking turmoil has added more complexities to central banks' monetary policy decision-making, particularly in the major economies. Everyone's looking to see how the Fed will position itself this week. Do you see this having an impact on Bank Negara's monetary policy direction moving forward?
Maybe, but not by much, I think, because judging from the MPC statement in March, just a couple of weeks ago, I think Bank Negara is more concerned about the downside risk emanating from the global economy and inflation, but less so about the near-term prospects of the domestic economy, thanks to the bigger budget. So I think Bank Negara will continue to find ways to bring real interest rate back to the positive territory. By me saying that, so I think policy normalization will eventually continue, but subject to what Bank Negara says, the evolving conditions and the implications to the domestic inflation and growth outlook. So it will, all in all, I think it would probably be a little, but not by much.
How important then will Malaysia's February CPI numbers be then for Bank Negara's consideration, because it's coming out this week, you know? How important will that be as an indicator of inflation and then hence informing Bank Negara about the actions it needs to take then?
As far as CPI is concerned, we can safely assume now that CPI has really peaked last year. I think in August, if I remember correctly. So it will continue to trend lower in the coming months. But I think Bank Negara's focus is probably more about, you know, job growth, the labour market recovery. In fact, in the recent MPC statement, Bank Negara only mentioned once about China. So perhaps they are pretty much edgy about the fact of, you know, China economic reopening and its impact to the labour market, to some extent the tourism sector, and in the private education sector as well. But we are seeing more Chinese tourists after the Chinese New Year. And I've also anecdotally heard some stories about Chinese students are coming, particularly in UM and UIA as well. So those are okay. But I think Bank Negara will focus their eyes more on the inflation, the unemployment rate, where it has been stagnant over the last 4 months, I think, since November at 3.6%. So if this were to remain static in the coming months, so I guess the resistance to normalize would probably be there, notwithstanding the impact on inflation.
Firdaus, thanks as always for speaking to us. That was Firdaus Rosli, Chief Economist of Bank Islam Malaysia, giving us his breakdown of how the banking sector crisis around the world is affecting us. Not so much, he says, we're Malaysian banks aren't.
Yeah, his assessment is that our banks are in a relatively robust framework. And it's not a really problem. He's worried more about the nature of the economy, whether or not we can deliver our growth targets in place. And it's very interesting how he pivots, right? The conversation is now shifting less about inflation, but more about how do we drive growth? How do we get higher paying jobs? How do we get employment back to where it was pre-pandemic? I think that's the bigger priority and central concern for many of us here.
Indeed. 8:49 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. We'll come back to discuss policy measures to strengthen the protection of children in Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.